You may have heard that it was a gender reveal party that started that huge El Dorado fire in California, in which case you may be saying, boy, those parties have gotten out of hand, or what is a gender reveal party? Well, it's a gathering in which expectant parents reveal the sex of their coming newborn with blue or pink cakes and, increasingly, fireworks. In California, there were clouds of blue smoke for boy before the flames, which the expectant parents tried to put out with water bottles. In 2017, an Arizona gender reveal party explosion started a wildfire that burned about 47,000 acres. Even the woman who came up with the idea, Jenna Carvanitas, is saying, people, knock it off. And Dr. Laura Tropp, a professor at Marymount Manhattan College and author of A Womb with a View, America's Growing Public Interest in Pregnancy, is saying, well, let's find out. Dr. Tropp joins us by Skype. Dr. Tropp, Laura, what are you saying about gender reveal parties?
One of the thoughts I have is it's this blend of pregnancy joining together with social media to make performance a key component of the experience.
Yeah. And what's wrong with that if parents celebrate?
Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with gender reveal parties. In fact, it can bring families together. It could allow partners to get earlier involved in the process. That's all wonderful. But the problem happens when it becomes just about the performance and we see more increasing extreme rituals.
These gender reveal parties, couples are using everything from exotic animals at the parties to car tires that will burn out with these plumes of colored smoke. We saw the pictures that came from California. Is that directly tied to social media? I mean, you have to have the bigger event because then you have to put it on social media.
Yes. When I first met the first person who I know of who had it, it was years ago, it was around 2004, and it was just a practical reason. She couldn't be there with her husband, and they wanted to share it together. But now it's ballooned into performing it for other people, and I think that it becomes this, what is the risk that you're going to take? What's going to make it bigger and better?
Yeah. Well, and also, you note, and I think it's so interesting, what are we saying about, and it's not really gender. It's the sex of the baby at birth. You know, gender is something that gets assigned at birth and might change over the course of a child's life. What are we saying about gender? You point out that parents were trying to make less of a distinction between their girl, let's say, and their boy, so that each didn't feel like they were caricatured.
Yes, I think it's such an interesting phenomenon because in many ways, Americans have been making some real progress in seeing gender as both constructed and fluid. So there seems to be a real disconnect with these parties because they're so focused on seeing gender in such a dualistic way, girl or boy, bows or bow ties.
But you also take us back through the history of pregnancy. And yes, there is such a thing. I mean, it was once almost for the course of it entirely in private because the only person who knew was often the woman who was controlling almost every aspect of it. And now we have so much help for women in the form of things like ultrasounds, but also it's less, I don't know, what is it you're saying? It's something she has less control over?
Yes, in some ways women have gained so much control over their pregnancy and body, but in some ways they've lost control because there's a lot of these rituals and technologies that are bringing other people into the process. So in some ways women can share their experiences with these gender reveal parties and their ultrasounds and their belly castings and pregnancy photo experiences. And
belly casting?
Yeah, so it's when they go to these, usually with a group, and they put like mold over the baby belly to preserve what the experience was like.
Whatever floats your boat. I see you also say there are belly tattoos. You also point out there are hotels that sell baby making packages, and of course baby showers have become, you know, in some corners just huge events. It's what, losing some of the privacy? Because some would see it as sharing.
I see it as a Faustian bargain, that in some ways you're gaining so much. You're getting other people to be part of this process with you. You're not feeling so alone. But at the same time, women are also ceding control because what they're doing is they're participating in all these various rituals, but other people are participating too. And then the question is where is the line drawn on who's going to make decisions about all different aspects of the pregnancy when you see it as a communal experience versus just a woman's experience?
Yeah. So what would you say to a pregnant woman who's facing all of this? And by the way, she's pregnant. And so there's a lot going on internally as well. What would you say about a gender reveal party besides don't have fireworks?
Yes, I think that everybody who brings a ritual into their pregnancy, whether it's a gender reveal or something else, should think about what's the purpose of it? And then make sure that they're engaging in the ritual in a way that's going to help them gain something from the experience rather than kind of become this just commoditized function or this performance.
Yeah, it's got to be all about you, Mom, and the baby you're carrying. Dr. Laura Tropp, professor of communication arts at Marymount Manhattan College in New York, also author of A Womb with a View, America's Growing Public Interest in Pregnancy. Dr. Tropp, thank you.
Thank you for having me.